Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
See, that's a tough one. See, that makes me so happy to hear Led Zeppelin and then kind of get to the crux of that. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm sad again.
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it? And that's why I will refuse to get back on this team's bandwagon in any way, shape or form. I seriously feel like a goddamn yo-yo. I'm off this team, you know, want everybody gone, you know, coaches fired, and then they win a few and they look good. And you're thinking, well, wait a second here. Maybe things are really starting to click because we haven't seen it through 74 games or 76 games or whatever, but maybe this is the week, right? And then they do what they did last night against Buffalo. What the fuck?
Listen, before you decide to stay off the bandwagon, I don't know if you saw the scores tonight. Did I bring you back around?
Not only did I not see the scores tonight, I'm not looking at the scores.
I know. I was going to tell you.
But here's the thing, though. Doesn't matter, right?
I know.
It doesn't matter. No matter what you are about to say, which I'm sure is going to tell me that the Flyers lost and the Red Wings lost and Washington lost. Did they seriously all fucking lose?
The Flyers lost clean. The Wings and Caps lost in overtime. The Islanders lost clean and the Sabres lost clean. It's everything we've been needing. They just keep opening the damn door and the Devils refuse to take a step forward.
Well, the Devils are opening the door. And then this is fucking Charlie Brown and Lucy pulling the fucking ball away every freaking time.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And you know, the fans, us, we're Charlie Brown. We're the ones that keep ending up on our fucking asses. Because, you know, the Devils are just dumb enough all the time to just, you know, they feel like they have a chance. And then they play the way they played last night. And
it's so disturbing in that you had a nice gifted 2-goal lead. And I say gifted because, I mean, those goals, you know, whatever, they went in. They're fine. They went in. I mean, you're spotted too. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can play that game and be not conservative. I know you got to push, but you know, you could have done something a little different to try to keep that score going. And it's very painful. Like you said, I mean, you were texting during the first period and then you said, okay, you know, radio silent, got to do whatever. I'm going to come back and watch it. And I know exactly what you must've felt because you tuned off saying we are in good shape. We're actually going to pull this off. We're going to win three in a row. We're going to pick up the 2 points when everyone around us lost. We're going to sit back tomorrow night and maybe watch these teams lose again. Games in hand are going to go away. We're going to get that Pittsburgh game coming up. We're ready to rock. And we have to beat the Rangers this time because we're due. And then we're just going to go. And then you watched the rest of the game.
First of all, nobody wants that final wild card spot, or apparently third place in the Metropolitan Division. Let's start there. Secondly, last night's game, I saw more so than I think any other game, and maybe because I was hyper attentive to this one because of the stakes and what was on the line, their immaturity level. These guys didn't know what to do with a 2-goal fucking lead. And then you saw it after the first goal. Well, the first goal was scored super fast in the second period, right? Yeah. And then you saw them the not skating, the making the stupid fucking decisions, not getting the puck out of the zone, not
blind passes not, over and over
and,
again.
And this is where, again, I will go back to bashing Tom Fitzgerald. Luke Hughes and Shimon Nemec had really bad games last night. They did, both of them. Mm-hmm. And that's totally expected. And you know what? That's okay for our two 20-year-olds to have bad games, especially pressure games. Like, this is probably, since Game 5, I mean, definitely the most pressure that Simone Nemec has had on him. And since Game 5 against Carolina last year, the most pressure that Luke Hughes has had on him. And that, last year, we have gone over ad nauseum, is not this year's team. Right. So, you know, you kind of expect that. But here's where I lay the blame, because when that happens, our veteran guys back there have to be able to bail them out. And you know what I see out of our veteran guys? When these two start fucking making mistakes, everybody starts making mistakes. Sure. I mean, I'm in my opinion, right now on defense on this team, Dougie Hamilton, Luke Hughes, and Shimon Nemec should be the only three that are starting on this team next year that are on this team now. They're the only three. I don't want Marino. I don't think he's played. He's made so many mistakes. I was so up in the air about. And look, when you have Brendan Smith and John Marino and, you know, just making mistake after mistake, along with bad games here and there from the two youngsters, you know, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get hemmed in your zone for minutes on end till you guys are just completely gassed. And then, you know, I thought there were a few guys on the top six that played really good. And then I saw the rest of the team not skating, right? Gliding. Being fucking, you know, just not
the theme
pressing.
Of the year.
And it's like, what the hell do you guys have to do? They just came back in the third. They tied it now. And at that point, you got to be thinking on the bench, guys, no matter what, we got to get 1 point and we'll go win this thing in overtime. That should have been the mentality 10 minutes left in the game. And it just was like panic. There's so many guys that I can go over watching that game that were so disappointing. And then in turn, it really makes you angry because you have another handful of guys, I thought last night, that were really working their asses off and were getting no support. And it's like, you know, this is this team. And, you know, the playoffs, whatever. I mean, if they make it the way they play, like tonight, like, I mean, it seems like if this is the formula and they happen to make it in the playoffs, they'll win two, they'll lose one. They'll win one, they'll lose one. And who knows, maybe that gets you through a round, but it is not, you know, it's just when the ones they lose so bad.
I think you just nailed it there because it not only, I mean, that blueprint was established last spring in the playoffs. It's exactly what happened. They either won pretty good or they lost disturbingly. Yeah. And they're kind of doing that now in a smaller way during the regular season. So yeah, if they happen to get in, which is looking far less likely, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It would probably be it would be the same kind of bipolar situation. One day they're just going to look great. We're like, we can win this round. Then they're just going to get destroyed.
But you do that in a 7-game series against the Rangers or Carolina or Boston, you know, even the games you show up for, you're probably going
to
lose.
Yeah, I don't think this team has the swagger to kind of overcome that 0-2 deficit like they did last year. They were all confident and just knew they can kind of outscore a lot of their problems.
And then last night again, the goalie pulled, right? And all I'm thinking is if they tie it here and they can get this point and go in overtime, that could be something that really and help propel this team and move them forward. You know,
even if they wind up losing,
Like we pulled the goalie. Every time we pull the goalie, they score on us. It didn't happen this time. You know, they're feeling better about themselves, and they just let it fucking happen again. Yeah. You know, and these just like, look, I like Andre Palat, and I know he does a lot of good things, but for that contract, dude, you got to start being offensively, visible. This dude cannot hit a good clean pass to save his life anymore. I don't know what's up with Andre Palat, but he's not driving any of the
preaching
offense
to the choir here, because I've been wishy-washy on him since day one last year. Were. And I have come around at times because I'm not an idiot. I do know the intangibles he brings. I do know certain tangibles he brings. I get it. But he's also here to score some. At $6 million, like, stop kidding yourselves that he's just the locker room guy and he's great on the boards or all the other stuff he does. Like, he also needs to perform. Andre Palat is still valuable even on this team. Andre Palat at $6 million is not. Now, there's nothing we can do about that, right? So what's the solution? Find out where to put him that he thrives. I don't know what that is. Does that mean fourth line minutes? I don't think it's top six. I think we've seen that that's beyond him now. That part of his game is past.
Well, I'll get into the other guy first, but let's talk about Palat for a second too. You're 100% right. And it also comes down, like, if I hear one more Devil fan go, well, it's, you know, because he has that experience. And when they get in, he's a playoff clutch guy.
How was it last night?
Hey, asshole, we're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is Palat? You know, dude, on that line, I thought Mercer last night, I thought he worked his butt off. I really did. He was one of the few guys that was just trying to push play. Timo Meier, I felt, didn't show up last night. I thought Jack skated his ass off last night and was doing everything he could. Even, you know, he was putting himself in some... Why, you
didn't think
so? A
little bit too much. No. Sometimes, again, a little too much. That's all.
A little too much.
You can't put the reins on Jack. We get that.
And I even saw last night, like, a lot of times he'll maybe bail on a pass a little early to avoid a hit, things like that. He wasn't doing that last night. He was taking the hits. And he was, you know, they weren't easing up so much on him. He was got hit last night, I think, more than he did in any other game.
Definitely wanted to win the game. And I'm not even going to bust his balls for what a lot of people were saying on that 5-on-3 power play that could have put us up 3-0. It, you know, maybe he got a little too fancy with the puck and snap. I'm not even putting it necessarily on that. As a team, though, you really got to know that situation. And you just got to fire pucks on net. Nice, simple, clean, funnel to the net. That's what you got to do there. You take that 3-goal lead, it's a whole different game.
When this team plays basic, fundamentally sound hockey, they're a very hard team to beat. But they give all the wins. It's like, how many times do you see other teams just outplay us more so than we just gave them the games? Like, we make so many mistakes. Right. It's like everyone this year is ending up in the back of the net. That's the other thing. Like, it's not even, but there's no urgency, it seems, to clean it up. Like, another guy that I was just saying, like, those three dudes that I want to see on defense next year, I've been up in the air about Kevin Ball, and I've been up in the air about him for a while.
All right.
I'm kind of out on Kevin Ball.
You're falling off, huh?
Okay. I'm balling off. I'm telling you why. This guy refuses to use the God-given talent that he has and the God-given size that he has. He should be a wrecking pun, very unintended, ball back there, but he should be. He should be a fucking monster back there. And, dude, so I don't need you making defensive mistakes when you're not going to at least be hitting and doing the things that a guy your size should be doing. So I much rather an upgrade. And the three guys that I want to upgrade for, I don't even know who they are. I'm talking, you know, league average, solid, responsible, smart defensemen, guys that don't make mistakes, guys that know what to do in every situation. Throw them on each of them on a line, one with Luke, one with Nemec, one with Hamilton. You got an offensive.
I was just thinking that.
You know, you got your offensive guy. You got a nice, responsible defensive guy. Together, they can, you know, really hold down that back end. That's what we need. And John Marino and Kevin Ball and Jonas Siegenthaler
and
Brendan fucking Smith are not those guys.
Definitely not Brendan Smith. I mean, he's going to be out of the picture for sure. I think otherwise one of the two that you mentioned are probably gone. Either Ball, Marino, or Siegenthaler. Marino and Siegenthaler are interesting because they're kind of the hybrid guys, right? We don't have that solid stay-at-home defense. The blueprint that won us all those championships, Lou Lamoriello, is like, you got a go guy, you got a stay-at-home guy. That's it, period. Didn't always have it every year. Sometimes, you know, you don't get the players you want, but that was basically the blueprint, and it's a great blueprint for success. So we've already got the three horses we can put up for the scoring that we mentioned. So, yeah, who are those guys that you can just train to play different? Like, you could still get to chip in your goals now and then when it really presents itself, but you got to have the mentality of mindset number one, I'm the safety guy.
You know, these fucking ticky-tack bullshit stuff they try in their defensive end drives me absolutely crazy. And you hear Danico basically now screaming about it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Chip it up the wall. Quick passes out of the zone. Stop trying, and that, you know, passing in the middle of the ice, and just, you know, not hard enough passes. Like, just come on, play with some fucking balls. And they don't. They are so weak and soft sometimes. And then you watch them in other games where they really clamp down and they play good hockey. And it's like, this is what you're capable of. So something is, whatever it is going on, I don't know how it starts. I don't know, but like, you gotta have somebody to being able to at least get these guys to play the right way for the next eight fucking games at least.
They've lost their ability to determine when to turn on the fun and when to just keep it straight. And a lot of the games we won, if we're just going north-south, playing hard, playing our way, maybe get the first goal, maybe not, but generally they are when they're doing that. Get the lead, you're a little more relaxed, and you got a little more creative freedom now. Now you've got the lead. Now you can mess around the zone a little bit more, get a little bit more creative with the goals. And that's why we've talked about, like earlier in the season, Jesper Bratt, who is one of the guys playing absolutely awesome for this team right now, was kind of a additional goal guy, right? We were saying, like, yeah, he's going to get the third goal when it's 2-0 already or whatever. But the whole team was capable of doing that before. And that's why we were kind of winning big. But they knew how to play first. And the defensive part you brought up, that's – I agree with you. Like, that just absolutely drives me insane to not have the wherewithal to put a little bit more power behind the clearing attempt. Like,
yeah,
bank it off the board, take the soft play, reset. You know, I don't know if they're so worried about icing and losing a faceoff. Like, what is it?
They're one of the best teams in the league on faceoffs. Like, that should be ice the puck if you have to. You know, I don't know what it is, but it's in their own end. And it's always when a team just starts pressing. It's like they don't know how to hold teams off. They don't know. And then the third period, that was all Buffalo. Like, holy shit. And I said it to my wife. I even texted you. I said, they're going to fucking score late in this game. We're going to pull our goalie. They're going to score on us again. Like, this is what's going to happen. And like 2 minutes later, they scored. And once they scored, you knew it was over because this team doesn't have any fight. And, you know, there are a lot of guys that I am really disappointed in this season. We talked about a lot of them already. Another guy, this guy I'm also like up in the air, like I was with Kevin Ball, where now I've come on the side that I'm fine if Kevin Ball's not on this team. But Eric Halla should not be up on the second line. Like, why? Like, he should not be up there playing with Jack and Holtz. That's not the third guy that should be up there. And I know that you might not want to pull Mercer off of his Palat and Nosek line, but yeah, I think you might have to.
Yeah.
Halla should be just 3C. Like, he should be our third line center, and you should pair him with Andre Palat and one other good player. I don't know, maybe Curtis Lazar or a guy like that. Maybe Nate Bastian when he comes back. But, like, you got to – that's where he belongs. And Jack and Holtz, if you want to keep Holtz, need to have – and Jack needs to be back in the middle, and you got to have another – you know, big guy, a power forward type next to Jack. And that would fill out our lines for next season. I think that would give us depth. It would give us 3-4 lines possibly that would be hard to play against. And then you shore up the defense. But I'm really nervous that Tom Fitzgerald is going to fuck this whole thing up.
See, I agree with you completely here. In general construction, I can't in all seriousness look at the top six and see why Hall is in there and Jack's on the wing. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And now we've got a season to show that it's just not working. I agree with you. This is a situation now where maybe it is Mercer. But now we're, oh, what is it? Is it about protecting Jack again, having something a little more size? Well, between Holtz and Mercer, they're both bigger than Jack. I mean, Holtz are basically the same size. And Mercer is also 6'1" I mean, he's not the heaviest guy. But, I mean, yeah, at this point, why not put Jack back to center, put Mercer up there, get another high-flying top two lines? Because the bottom six aren't doing anything.
No.
They're not giving us energy or a spark. They're not banging so much anymore.
Curtis Lazar is going to play his ass off every game. I think Tomas Nosek has been playing pretty good. I like the energy that he brings. And I like the energy the third line brings in general. They got to start putting the puck in the back of the net. They got to start doing something.
Got to chip in.
What's that?
Yeah, they have to chip in.
Yeah, and you have to chip in point-wise. I think they're working hard, but they're not coming across with anything to show for it. You know, Hala, if you want to keep him for next season, fine. But don't put him up on the top six. He should not be there. Palat shouldn't be there. Curtis Lazar shouldn't be there. All these guys that we've seen up there all year long, like, go find a true winger for Jack. Go get a good power forward, good, you know, second line winger and pair him up with Jack. If you want to keep Holtz, keep Holtz. But, you know, I can see more done with this team without giving the house away just through free agency and trading off like guys like Marino and Ball and getting some return for them. I see, you know, that this team can kind of be pretty much fixed without a complete and total overhaul and without having to give away the farm.
I see a situation where I don't know that I want to go out and get another particular scorer because we had that into Foley. We let him go. And my soapbox was that there was just too much, right? There was too many cooks.
Okay. Maybe the answer.
Maybe the answer is Mercer. A full shot at second line, Mercer. Jack's back at center. Keep Holtz. That's three different types of players right there. Gives you a pretty good look. And then, yeah, with Hala in the third. I'm great with Lazar down the fourth. As far as everybody else in those bottom six, you can mix and match, throw them away, grab new players. I don't care.
Okay. I can live with that. And I'd like to give the try. I mean, maybe then you do it now and you see how it looks, if that's something that you're really going to think about for next year. But I have no issues with that. And I don't know how many teams would be able to boast a top six with 5 homegrown guys on there. Like, that would be kind of impressive. You know, if you can really be a dominant team with only Timo Meier being that guy that you went out and got, I don't know if too many teams can really say that, which is pretty cool. You know what I'm nervous about? I'm nervous that Tom Fitzgerald is going to kind of not take care of other issues on this team because he is going to be all about the goalie. I liken him now to Ahab and Moby Dick. Like, he is just obsessed with the goalie. And I'm worried that he's going to, like, do everything he can or give away the house to get somebody in and not fix some of the other issues with this team.
I think he'll be all right with that. I don't think he's going to do that. But what I do think is that, and you see this a lot with sports and general managers, that's going to be his focus first. So he's not going to worry about the periphery things until that's done. And then you lose some players along the way. And similar to that is kind of what you brought up with Ball. I don't want the organization to fall in love with what Ball should be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got the size. Nobody's got a guy this size that can play. If he's not going to become what he has to be, then maybe he does become a trade chip.
Yeah, I mean, look, he played limited minutes in the first half of last season. He was in and out of the lineup. He really got more steady in the lineup after the trade deadline last year. Probably before that, maybe after the All-Star break last year. And then this year, I think he's played pretty much every game. He's just, you don't see that. Like, if you saw it where, you know, it was, you know, maybe he takes too many penalties because he doesn't time his hits right, or, you know, but he is getting the body in and things like that. Like, maybe you can be like, yeah, I see where he can really become a dominant force on the back end. But you don't see any of that. Like, he rarely hits. He does not use his huge frame to do himself any good. And it's like, bro, you have something that not a lot of D-men have. Like, start fucking using it. You know, you could play in this league for a really long time if he can start putting it together.
It's weird because there's been a few times during the season, I think I even brought it up on the show, where I'd mentioned his hands. And I was like, he's surprisingly good hands for what he's supposed to be. And now in retrospect, I'm thinking about, like, I don't want to see your goddamn hands anymore. I want to see you stand right back on the blue line, just crushing people when they come through. Like, that's there's, it. You know how many guys, you know how many defensemen have come through the league scoring at all ranks their entire lives? Like, elite scorers for what it takes just to get to the NHL. And the minute they get up here, somebody says, stop what you're doing. This is what you do now. That is how you make it.
They told the story out to Brendan Smith when he got in. I think Bill Spaulding told the story.
But he can't play defense.
he came in and said, the coach said, what do you see yourself as? He said, an offensive defenseman. He goes, well, you're not. You're a defenseman, defensive defenseman. And from that point on, he was a defensive defenseman.
And some now, even
just kind of cooked.
And some even mature into it. I mean, look no further than Scott Stevens. The guy was actually a scoring machine. He led the Devils 1 year in scoring. Yeah. And then he became the ultimate kind of defender. That's a high mark. I'm not suggesting anyone can be that. I'm just, you know, putting
Kevin
it out there.
Ball is very young, but I just don't see that in him. I don't see that at all. Like, you know, he's kind of – you kind of forget about him during a game. Like, a guy like that should be noticeable, a lot more noticeable.
So that's my point. So let's, if you don't fall in love with his stature and what you think he can become, if I just told you today, I don't care who it is, we're going to get an everyday average defenseman in here next year to replace Ball, and because of that, we will be better. Yeah. Like, that's just really what it comes down to.
You're right.
You know?
And you know, another guy who – I can go back and I watched the way Nick DeSimone plays, right? This kid plays the right way. Yeah. He gets the puck out of the zone fast. He's decisive with his the puck is on his stick. He blocks a ton of shots. He gets his stick in the lanes. He does the right things. John Marino playing like Nick DeSimone, John Marino can be a great doing the things that he's doing, he'd be fantastic. But, like, he's the only guy doing this shit.
Right.
I like to see him back, you know, even like we said, even if he was a rotational guy. But even if he was a regular in the lineup, he might be the only other guy other than Hamilton and the kids that I would want back.
Well, think about it this way, too. What if you can get a guy like that on a much cheaper, I don't know what he would command, 1-something, 1-5, mm-hmm. who knows, right? And that would allow you, if you could then, say, get rid of, this is hypothetical, trading like a John Marino and a Siegenthaler combined at $7, almost $8 million. So you get the kind of DeSimone for million something. Now you've got $7 more million to play with to go get a stud.
Yeah.
So now you got your stud stay at home. You got DeSimone. You got the three offensive guys we talked about. And you just got to fill one more guy who's a bottom six defense. That could be one of the people we have left. It could be Taka or whoever.
There you
and
go. I like
could potentially build a defense with that.
Yeah, and that would be if they play the right way, would be considerably better than the defense that we have right now.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just, even in the Maple Leaf game, like, I know they locked it down, but they in the third, they really kind of locked it down more to a puck possession than they did by playing a defensive scheme. They skated their asses off. But they love games like that against teams like Toronto. You want to go north-south all night, the Devils are like, we'll do it with you. You know, it's when it comes to playing the teams like the Rangers and the Hurricanes that, you know, clog up the middle and they hit you a lot and we don't know how to overcome.
And this might sound weird, but, like, I don't want the litmus test to be beating Toronto, because Toronto has kind of been that team. Like, yeah, they're all fire and fun, but they're not getting any championships out of it. They're not winning. And we could beat those teams. We have trouble with the teams that you would look at and say scary Stanley Cup team.
Yeah.
Florida, Carolina, Rangers right now. Avalanche from the West, stuff
and
like
we
that.
We have to get built like that more. You know, that's the model. The Knights, you know, you have to get size. If you want to go out and get that big stud defenseman, you know, like you said, if you have the money, you know, that'd be awesome. Another way to save some money is not go and trade Alex Holtz and whatever else you want for Jacob Markstrom. Sign a free agent. I keep talking about Lorraine Brossoit. I think he would be a fantastic fit with Jake Allen. He's getting like 1.75 from Winnipeg as Colin Hellebuck's backup right now. What could you get him for? $3 million? You know,
if we can listen, we've seen what average goaltending, and I say that lightly because Jake Allen has actually given us above average goaltending, right? But we've seen what making a few key saves can do. So if we don't have to leverage giving up, you know, a ton of prospects and people, right, and sign somebody that's going to make the stops you should stop, kind of like last year, V had a good year. He didn't have a record-setting year. He was still mid-ranks goaltender, right? But he made a few of the saves, enough for the team to go on 112-point season. So it's possible that you could get a guy like that more on the cheap. And then if you want to really burn it down a year later when that free agency class comes in, then you could spend the money and not give up anybody. As far as Alex Holtz, again, this is a situation where you're giving the kid some confidence. You're giving him some proper playing time. It's paying dividends. Mercer is going to be on year four next year, right? Had the great sophomore year, up and down year this year. But again, this has been one of those years where I just feel like a lot of players don't know what their role is. And Mercer's so super smart. Maybe he's the next guy that you got to just tap him on the back and say, we're not bringing anybody in to save us. We need you to go up there with your offensive capabilities and your hockey sense, you know, to not make huge mistakes and be on the second line all year.
I think that's,
I don't know how the conversations go. I'm just saying, like,
hey, it's, but that's,
he's a great hockey player.
He is a great hockey player. And I know Alex Holtz is an extremely polarizing figure amongst Devil fans, which, you know, I think, you know, this is the first year of this kid, you know, making the team, playing every game. I like what I've seen from Alex Holtz. I think, you know what it is more so? I think I see a lot of potential in Alex Holtz. Like, I see him getting better, and I see him really becoming the kind of guy that can help this team make a run when they're ready to do it in a year or two. And I think he can be a guy.
You couldn't be more right. I mean, again, all year I've been preaching he's a different look. That's what it comes down to. You can't have, you know, 12 players all playing the same way. So Alex Holtz has shortcomings. Absolutely. He's also very young, right? And he needs some time to learn. But he can be that guy who's kind of, again, not the razzle-dazzle on the line, but the guy who snipes down the wing, gets you 40 goals. And just, that's what you need. The A-line wasn't constructed perfectly. It just worked out.
Yeah, right. And I don't understand why people are so easy to forgive every mistake that Nemec and Hughes make, but they're not when it comes to Alex Holtz. They're in the exact same position. I know it took Alex Holtz a little longer to get there, but, you know, they really are. He's a rookie this year.
They're almost in the same position. You got Luke Hughes practicing, I'm air quoting, 24 minutes a night. He's playing half the game of experience a night. Yeah. And Holtz was getting 6 minutes of experience a night. You're not going to project at the same level, at the same pace. He needs reps. He's getting reps. He's not scoring as much as he was when he had less. But, you know, he's not the demon everyone makes him out to be.
No, and I think he has, like I said, a ton of potential. And I'd like to kind of see that develop a little bit in Jersey. You know, I we're not talking about, we're talking about keeping the guys that we have, because a lot of these guys too, like Palat, has a no trade clause. Like, unless he okayed a trade, you're stuck with Andre Palat for the next few years. And, you know, unless you just cut him and pay dead money to him. But other than that, he's in your lineup. So you got to make it work.
Does that still work? Is that still half the salary stays on the books? Is that how it works, but for twice the term?
I think so.
If he's got 2 years left and $6 million, it'll be $3 million on the books for 4 years.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
it. At the salary cap these days isn't terribly awful. I don't, as much as I'm not appreciating what he's doing currently, I still would rather him be on this team. But again, in a better role. And part of that's up to Andre to figure out.
Yeah. All
right, you know what? I don't have what I used to have. What can I really do for this team right now?
Yeah, just he's not been the player that he was in Tampa Bay at all. And, you know,
I love what you said about, you know, wait till playoff time. This is the Devils' playoff time.
That's because
there might not be a regular playoff time. So if you're not showing me now, and you didn't show it last year, oh, well, you had a couple good games in the playoffs, right? But
yeah. I mean, that game 7 in the Rangers was a great game for him.
That was,
and, you know,
plot all over that game. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's what we need now, you know, like, you know, the power play again last night, nothing, you know, you gotta, you know, when you, And here's the other thing. Like, I know that our guys and our big guns are great and skilled, but this year especially, none of them have any type of clutch gene at all. None of them. The games have been on the line or on their stick multiple times. Every one of them. I'm talking Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes.
They each had their moments, but you're right. As a kind of a long-term look.
Where's the clutch gene? You know, you need guys, especially this time of year, to have that clutch gene. You know, when that goalie, when Allen was pulled last night, you know, the teams that have it, they score that goal and they get that game to overtime. And they, even if they lose, they pick up a point and they hold their head up. Like, where is our clutch? Like, we don't have it.
We joked about this, but I mean, we have scored an empty net goal, right? Like, I really can't remember one.
Oh, yeah, we have. Okay. Jack just scored just the other night against Toronto.
Okay. Oh, did? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, his second goal was an empty netter.
No. With our goalie pulled trying to tie the game.
No, we
literally haven't, right?
I don't think we have. No, absolutely not this year.
That's crazy. Because last year they were so good at it. It had a big part of all their comeback wins.
Yeah. You know, and you take the guys we lost last year, and even if it's just one or two little elements that they brought, this team has not been able to compensate for them. And I'll say Damon Severson, I'm fine with his defensive game not being here, but you know what I miss? There was nobody better than at the stretch pass than Damon Severson. Like, this dude would hit guys from behind his own goal line in the neutral zone and set them off to a breakaway last year. And we saw it tons of times. Nobody can hit the fucking stretch pass this year. How many times did you see a long stretch pass that set a guy off? Like, we don't do it that much because we don't have guys that can. And Damon Severson brought that. You know, Ryan Graves was just solid responsibly. You know, knew when to pitch in, but he was very solid responsibly.
I mean, I went so far as to say he made a game-saving block a night.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he might be an exaggeration, but it felt like that.
Cleaning out the crease a lot more than the guys that we have are. John Marino, again, I don't know what the hell's up with him, man. He seems completely fucking lost this year.
Is he another victim of shuffling and just not pairing up well? Maybe. I'd like to believe that with the right partner, Marino's a solid hockey player and that he would service us real well, but that doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is you have to look at what this team is now and where can you fix it. And there's a lot of teams that would love to get Marino.
Yeah.
So it could be a hockey trade, you know, just something that works out.
Worked out for you, works out for us. Yeah. And maybe he can go and have a, you know, good year or good career with somebody else. And if it's here, I hope it works. But, you know, this year's just shown me nothing. And, you know, just our whole, just certain guys, like, you know, I put a stupid poll up on X today, you know, just like with the season.
It's a good poll, actually.
Well, yeah, with the season basically over, how much faith do Devil fans have that Tom Fitzgerald can fix the deficiencies on this team? And it was a little more than a coin flip last time I looked, like that, yes, most Devil fans are confident that he will.
I saw about 55, 45 maybe, or 60, yeah, okay, 40 so, yeah, at look, worst. Look, yeah.
Yeah. So Devil fans have, you know, he has the majority of Devil fans still believing in him. And I completely
I'm one of them.
Lost my freaking train of thought.
Doesn't matter. I'll go with my train of thought. But yeah. I am one of them. I think that, again, he's looked at what worked this year and what didn't. And I think he's fully aware of the fact that he delayed in certain moves that really could have helped turn this team around. Now, again, since the moves, you can still look at our record, and that might not be exactly where you want it to be. But if this were done 30 days earlier, these random games like the Buffalo game where you wound up losing, they might have been the exception and the blip and you move past it. So I'm very positive about the week coming up, despite I'm not saying I'm going to make the playoffs, but this week I actually am very positive about it.
Well, I'll ask you to explain that because I don't even know what the schedule is, but one sec because I remember my thought. And when I put that, and somebody did write in that they – hey, look, man, we're only 4 points or 3 points out of a wild card spot.
Like, they were incorrect. We were five at minimum. 5 points.
Okay, so yeah. they wrote four, I think, and 4 points out of a wild card spot. Like, this is doable. I still believe. And I just, you know, wrote back, like, I've just had my heart ripped out too many times, you know, just I can't do it now. But, like, you're saying you're optimistic about this. But my point is also this. Like, this team, I don't know if they would, you know, depending on who they play, like why, if they even made it, I don't know if they can get to that next level, which is why I don't think they're going to make it. Because like last night was the example, man. If you have another level, like you needed to kick it into that when they scored that goal. And last year's team, I believe, probably would have gotten that goal at the end.
If you had another level, you would have realized that you were up 2-0 and you would have absolutely controlled that game.
You're right. You would have played a smart road game and just controlled the rest of it.
By the 100%. Way, for the record, I was watching the scores today, but I didn't realize this was going to happen. Virtue of Washington's overtime loss and Philly's clean loss, Washington has jumped to third in the Metro. Philly is now the second wild card, but we are still 6 points out of the second wild card.
So wait, we are six points out. We're never catching
as
that.
Of right now, we're six. So it was 5 this morning.
It's not happening.
It was the bonus point. So if the Flyers continue to lose, and let's suggest they will, this is it. They're going. They're tanking, right? The problem is you still got Detroit above you and the Islanders, but there is still a path. But 6 points, we played one less game than the Flyers, too.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, we're not getting into all that right now. But it is interesting that the Washington Capitals are now third in the Metro.
All right, well, I'm going to read this little DraftKings ad, and then you're going to tell me why you're optimistic about this coming week.
Okay.
And if anybody's looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58, that's not the right one.
I'm sorry. Which is that the Super Bowl that just happened?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge football guy, so I knew that.
Dude, I am so freaking psyched for 4 weeks from now. Less than 4 weeks from now. The NFL draft. I have never been this excited for the Vikings to draft. They're going to move up. They're going to get a quarterback, and we are finally going to have a franchise quarterback in Minnesota since Fran Tarkenton have we
I
had.
I hope for you.
Yeah.
Because me, the lover of multiple football teams, somewhere in my top five are the Vikings because of you. I have to think about that order. But
you're the best.
Yeah.
And we know that hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. Just bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 in the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Giant card run by. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Like I said, it's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours.
That was a nice note read.
Thanks, dude.
It's good.
So what do you got for me, Bobby?
Before I go into the week, are we not doing our accountability and predictions because the other guys aren't here? Or
what? Yes, because I figured we'll do a show Tuesday before the Penguins game, which is our next game. So we'll do our accountability and predictions for Tuesday.
Okay.
So, hey, wait. Before you get into that, what was the question you wanted to ask me about a soft restaurant opening?
Oh, yes. Okay. So very bizarre situation, right? So my wife is working in a retail establishment next door to a new bar that's going up where an old bar was.
Oh, did you hear what happened at the Ocean County Mall?
No.
So there's a jewelry store there, and it was robbed the other day, but like they broke in from the other store, like, and they had drills and like little torches and shit, and they broke into the safe. Like, that is some awesome heist movie shit going on.
That's Ocean's 15.
I'm not so happy it happened like 10 minutes from my house, but I was like, that's an awesome victimless crime. Yeah. I think that's, and they got away with it as far as I know.
That's good. I'm all for it.
So, okay.
No, I'm not for stealing, but it's funny. Was I telling something?
You were?
Yes. Okay. So this establishment already exists in another location. It's very popular. It's kind of like a German beer hall type situation. It's in our town.
Two locations.
Right. This is the second one. This one's in town. The other one's kind of rural, way off. It's just pure outdoor beer garden, old farmhouse. So he's got a great following. So anyway, they've been doing kind of construction, renovating this building for several months. Got to know my wife from working next door. Comes in and he says, "Hey, why don't you, you know, we're doing a soft launch today. Why don't you come in for a beer?" Right. So she was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'll see." And she writes me. I'm like, "Well, can Caden come? You know, like we're going to go together because I'm here watching the kid and this and that." And she's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Well, just ask him. Just say, is it all right?" You know? So goes back over to him, talks to him, says, "Can we come back a little bit after I close the store?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." He's like, "You know, we're not really going to have food or anything, you know, just, but yeah, you know, bring the family." Cool. So we bring the family. My wife tells her boss she was going to do the same. So we go there about an hour later, and we just think we're just going to go in for a drink or two. We even pre-ate dinner, right? And we get there, and the hostess was like three. We're like, yeah. They're like, "Oh, that's her," meaning her from next door. So they seat us upstairs with the menus, and they're walking us up, and they're like, "Everything's free tonight, you know, as part of our soft launch. You know, enjoy." So I'm like, okay, so now what? Because like we kind of established you can come in, have a drink. Then we asked, and he was kind of like, "Oh, there's not really going to be food." It was the full menu minus a few things. So now I'm like, okay. So I kind of brought it up to my wife. I'm like, I mean, he said it wasn't a menu, but it is a menu. That's a little weird. I'm like, but I'm looking around. I'm like, but I'm here. I'm going to go for it, you know? So we started ordering. We just felt a little out of place.
At one point, I bet. You should have felt a little out of place.
What? Oh, okay. So this is where you're going with this, but we were invited.
I understand.
Okay. So again, we didn't know, like we just walked in. They're like, here's the menu.
Were you the only ones eating?
No, the whole entire place was eating.
Okay.
And they asked everybody how you know the owner. There was family. There was friends. We were the business next door, which by the way, of course, we're giving a ton of publicity to. They are. Every time they go in. But we did decide to eat respectfully. Like we did not go crazy. You know, my kid had a pretzel. I just had a small thing. But still, we did eat it. At first, felt awkward. Then I was like, nope, I'm in. They got me in. We're just going to enjoy this. Tip our waiters good. And we left. So that was my question. Like, they invited. And then kind of was like, it's not really going to be food. Then we kind of saw him. And he didn't really say hi. And now before you answer, I will tell you that we went back the next night during the regular open and paid a regular tab. And ate well, and he did come over and he talked to my wife. And says, "Yeah, did you make it in last night?" You know, which we did. And he either claimed he didn't see us or really didn't see us. But we certainly made good for it, and that's exactly what we knew we were going to do. We're big in the local community here. We're always going to support. But the oddity of being told, "There's not really going to be food," and then we show up and there's food was very confusing to me.
I think he probably invited certain people, family, close family and stuff, to come to
eat. I met a lot of them.
Because they were paying, you know, it was free. When they invited your wife, it sounds to me like they invited her in for a drink. Like, come in, see the place, have a drink. And, you know, and then when you guys all went, you know, I think he might have been a little bit like, oh, they just are coming in for a free meal. But if that was what he was thinking, you completely redeemed yourself by going back the next day. That's a classy move, full well, you know, how the situation looked, how you felt. That's absolutely like.
We also ironically got the same server who was awesome the first night. And we got to take care of her again for, you know, helping us out and all. But again, that's why I said when she mentioned to me, we can go, because it's kind of a big deal, this place opening up. And it's extremely kid. Oh, that's the other part. So this place is extremely kid friendly, especially the one out in the suburbs a little bit. It's known for being like, if parents are going to be like, "Hey, where should we go for dinner night? Why don't we go there? Because they're so good with kids," that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in this establishment, the first floor is more of the bar and there's tables for adults. The second floor, beer hall kind of idea, shared tables, is where the kids go.
Okay.
So again, I said, "Well, ask them if we can bring the kid.
Right.
And then when we walked in, they threw us upstairs, which is literally the kid and restaurant part. So again, a little awkward.
I think there was just a misunderstanding between what, yeah, what he said and how your wife interpreted what he said. Or
I was literally going to say to the server when we walked in the door, oh, no, we're not allowed to eat. I'm just going to get a drink. I'm like, no, that sounds stupid. They're like walking me upstairs.
Right. So I think it just probably started out as something and then it turned into something that it was
after work drink.
Right.
And then we said, well, we're going to come back in an hour to get my family. And I get that. But again, the positive thing is that we've since, of course, we'll go many more times. I've been to his other establishments. But
that's the classy move, you know, yeah, where a guy might be thinking, you know, these guys are coming in to get a free meal.
Yeah. It was the last thing on our mind.
Right.
And like Jamie and I each got apps.
But we all know that. Yeah. But I'm saying what he probably thought. And then when he came, you know, of course he saw you go there on, you know, the other night. But he came over because he realized, you know what? These are good dudes. That's a classy move.
And I got to tell you, listen, I mean, discretionary income, like we're all watching it, right? Sure. This is not the most inexpensive place. Like my next check was, there are other establishments I can go to and I frequent often that I could have probably saved, you know, 20-30%.
Right.
But it's part of the game. You know,
yeah,
enjoying them. Like, you know, I know the beers that he brings in and it tries to be a little more rare. Not rare is that I couldn't, I mean, I'm a kind of craft beer guy. I can find it other places, but to most people, it appears rare. So it's $9.50 instead of $7.58. You know what I mean? And those things kind of add up over time. But again, sure. Great establishment. We did plan on supporting him the whole time. So, just wanted to pick your brain on that awkwardness, because
yeah, I just think it was a misunderstanding. Yeah. That's all. That's you know, not a big deal. But now, why are you optimistic about the Devils next week?
Okay, so objectively, I'm looking at the week, and despite Buffalo pissing on my dreams, they played relatively well. I do believe that we can beat the Penguins, often and always.
I agree. Right? I agree. Yes,
and I think that we're due to beat the Rangers for many reasons that we talked about before.
So than just where do the fact that we haven't beaten them all year, they completely kicked our asses, and it's on the second night of a back-to-back.
Right. Yeah.
You think we're due.
I'm going with the law of averages.
And did I tell you that Curtis McDermott most likely will not be playing in this game, which means just...
Wait, is he hurt? Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was still hurt.
Yeah, he's been out.
Well, I know he's been out, but
I mean, we haven't heard anything. I haven't even heard he's been skating. It hasn't been skating. I have to kind of assume, but if there was a game, then I think you throw him out, even like we said, if it's on a walker, with a walker, you put him out there.
Smith will take that fight. I'm not worried about that.
Okay, so we'll lose Smith for the next five games after that.
That could be another blessing of the season. In disguise.
Yeah.
So I just feel like we're going to attack them and okay. We're going to bring everything. I think that's going to be our Stanley Cup, basically. Okay. So we have that win. And then 2 days later, we have the Senators. And we should not lose to them two times in a row.
Okay.
So I'm thinking we might potentially win out the week.
And I will play devil's advocate and tell you why there's a chance they're not going to win any of them.
Fair enough.
All right. Because of their due being your only main reason for beating the Rangers, and then the Penguins are due to beat us. Ooh. So we're going to lose on Tuesday. Okay. I already mentioned all the, and now once you lose, where our, I'm betting our confidence level and our just overall good vibes in that dressing room is on a scale of 100, probably hovering at about like 51%. Okay. It's very fragile. Okay. Their confidence, all of it. Like it can break, it can wax or wane depending on how that Penguin game goes, and they will lose that game because the Penguins are due, which will then knock their confidence level down somewhere into the high 20s, low 30s.
Okay.
And then they go into the Ranger game where Rempe probably takes a couple of our guys out. We probably go through two, possibly more goalies in that one, and we completely just get our asses kicked, where our confidence level then is at a zero. We go into the Ottawa game and we barely show up, and everybody has just kind of given up, and they just want the season over, and they can maybe have a reset and come back in September. Travis Green will be fired, and next summer we'll begin the shit show, and the playoffs will begin and end without the New Jersey Devils. Now, that's just me playing devil's advocate.
You know, I might be inclined to agree with you now, but not for why you think. Because I've never seen you kind of wave the pen around in your hand like that so much. You look much more intelligent. And for that, I might say you could be right.
See how easily I could persuade
you. Just Bob. Persuade by, that's it. You look like a journalist or something.
See, it was pen impressive. Of persuasion, damn it.
Right. All right, here. So you're going 0-3. No, I'm going 3-0.
That that's
going
to happen. I'm saying that their confidence level is right now probably very fragile. If they go into the Pittsburgh game, if they can get themselves up, if they can look at each other as a man and say, how the fuck do we want to go out these next 8 games? Do we want to look like a bunch of fucking chumps, or do we want to actually make a push here and, you know, at least do something to fucking feel good for the summertime? You know, if that's the case and they beat Pittsburgh, then maybe, yeah, they get a little confidence. They beat the Rangers, and then that can give them all the confidence they need. Now that confidence level might be at, you know, 75, 80 going into an Ottawa game. And you're thinking, these fuckers came into our building and embarrassed us 2 weeks ago. Let's do the same to them. So I can see it going either way. So I guess I'm just saying that a lot of it hinges on how they play in that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah. And considering the team we saw against Buffalo, I don't know what the hell I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, you know.
I need a break.
There really is. It's just going to be a lot of fun this summer once the offseason starts officially. Well, officially, it's going to start for us in about 3 weeks. But when it officially begins and we can, you know, have all the discussions about how to fix this team and what Tom Fitzgerald's doing, because this coming up this summer, no matter what happens in these next 8 games, will be the most important summer of this franchise's history.
So I'm gonna throw my pen in the air now as I say this here, because I have a good idea for what we're gonna do over the summer.
Okay.
Because last summer we kind of lost track.
On-air production meeting. Let's go.
Correct. Last summer we kind of lost track of where we were each going with how the team should be built. We wound up coming towards the fall, like what's your line combinations, all that. So what I think we should do is at the end of the year we're basically gonna take the frozen file, as it is, if you were. This is the team we have, and everybody's going to have their lines. And I'm going to keep this for all 4 of us.
Okay.
And then as we go through the summer, because there could be, once a trade happens, people slide down or people get moved. So we can't just do it in May and then do it again in September.
Right.
So I'll actually keep how we can all change it as new moves happen.
I like it.
So maybe we import a left wing. You think he's a top line left wing. I think he's a third line left wing. And I'll plug them all in so we can compare as we go until we get to the actual fall and see where we all wind up with the team that ended. And this can be, so the team that ended, we could be like speculation the first couple weeks, right? I think we're going to trade for X, or I want to sign Y.
Right.
And then we'll just kind of populate it in there and just kind of watch it grow and change as we approach opening day next year.
Well, I'm glad that you now officially are the producer of the Uncle Pucker Show. This is totally on you. I love that you're doing
just
this.
The one bit.
Let's do it. No, you're not, that starts with one. We got you to build the fucking website, didn't we? So, yes, please check
us out. UnclePuckers.com. Check it out. There's some fun stuff in there. We've got some good original content, and we've got some kind of quirky satire type of mini content, and of course, all of our episodes. So check it out.
And we're going to have Jersey Joe on right around the NHL draft, and we're going to get all his feedback of what the Devils need to do. He's, he's got a lot of good takes, and he's got a lot of solid info. So, yeah, definitely we'll have that going. So
I think one of the most fun things that people can do is kind of go back to whatever is the first official episode that they can download. Like, listen to that, download that, listen to it, and then listen to this show. And in your mind, you'd probably be thinking that we've got, like, exponentially better, but I want you to be honest with us and tell us like how much little better we got. Maybe drop us a comment or two. We really want to see some comments. We want to interact with you.
Well, we want to get
people doing our predictions with us, so we need some people to fill out the forms on the website.
Definitely, and it might be worse now who knows?
Could be
so,
worse.
Yeah, definitely drop us a line. Love hearing from all of our listeners. And, you know, let us know what you think about our takes on this. Like, you know, where do you feel about Palat and where we go forward when it comes to him and other guys like Kevin Ball and stuff. I'm real curious to know what our listeners are thinking about that. So you can always hit us up at just hop onto theunclepuckers.com and you can contact us there. Wherever you're listening to us, a like, a download, right? Got to download the show.
Just subscribe.
Subscribe, download, likes, positive review, nice comment, things like that. Tell me that my eyes are
cool. Tell me more about my eyes.
There you go. For Bobby, I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers, and we're out.
Bye-byes. No outro.